A message was sent from Greenville Special Services to Mr. Phelps. It said, "Your food stamps will be terminated in March because we have been informed that you have deceased. If there is a change in your status, you may be reinstated." I don't know how many of you know of any missionaries or have had the privilege to meet missionaries from various places in the world. I have some friends that have answered the call to the mission field, and some go to Africa, and some have gone to Japan, and some to Russia now since it has opened up. And each one of them responds in missions in a different way. The type of ministry that might take place in Africa will not work maybe in Japan. When I think about the first missionaries like Abraham, and I think about how he was endeavoring to communicate this message that he had received from God, how he was endeavoring to share this Yahweh, this monotheistic one God, to those who believed in a variety of gods, and the efforts that he had to make. God calls different ones at different times to reach out to different types of people. And yet we understand that God begins to work with people right where they are. God began to work with the children of Israel while they were slaves down in Egypt. He began to reach out to them through his servant Moses and began to try to communicate to them this God who loved them and would nurture them and take care of them. And you know that story, or many of you know how that the people would follow for a while, they would do good for a while, and then they would begin to wander away. We understand that change and growth and development and adaptations are all qualities that make it possible for people to exist and for people to continue to grow and to survive and thrive in all types of circumstances. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus, too, was challenged. He was challenged at the level of his humanness. His concept was that he would walk away from this woman, that he would forget that she had a need, maybe, that she was a Canaanite, that she was not of a household of Israel. Jesus is challenged. How many of us find ourselves in our Christian walk to be challenged? To challenge to reach out to those that we in maybe bygone times would have just as soon turned our backs on. Sometimes we reach out to those who maybe our perception and our ideas about who they are and what they are calls us to be restless within our spirit. Jesus, here in this passage of Scripture, is struggling. He's struggling with his humanness, and he also is experiencing his faith as it is changing. If we don't change, then we die. One sure sign of death is a lack of change, a lack of willingness to change in our outreach and our concept as a church. But we understand that this faith that we have is a living faith. And this faith that was shared this morning was a lively faith. And this Canaanite woman comes out of her community and she reaches out Jesus changes his mind. But somebody said he might have changed his mind, but he keeps the change. We don't have to lose our convictions because of our outreach. We have a message to share. And this woman, as she comes to Jesus, she doesn't come to him out of the magnitude of what she has. She comes to Jesus out of her problem. The Bible tells us that she had a demon. Says in other translations that she was vexed by a demon. It doesn't tell us why it happened. It doesn't speak to us about whose fault it is. It doesn't say that the mother has done something wrong, or if the little girl had been dabbling in witchcraft. It just says she had a need. I think about this mother as she reaches out to Christ for her little daughter. I can remember as a young man, a young boy, going to my dad and saying, "Dad, pray for me. I don't feel well this morning. Would you pray for me? Dad, there's some things that are bothering me. Would you mind praying with me?" You know, sometimes my phone rings and it'll be one of my children. And they'll say, "Dad, I need you to pray for me. I've got an issue at work, or I have this issue that's bothering me, or I have this friend that needs a special. Would you pray with me, Dad?" Those are special moments, special sacred moments. And I hope that your children have that same type of relationship with you, or your grandchildren, that they know that you are a praying, caring, loving mom, dad, grandparent. The other day, I rediscovered my cousin. We had been separated for about 20-something years, and we met and began to communicate on Facebook, and we began to share about Granny Sanders' prayers, about our parents, about how that they shared their faith with us. And I cannot begin to tell you how many missionaries and ministers are in our family because of my grandmother's prayers. And this little girl, she was her little girl. She had been the one that this mother had carried for 9 months. This had been the one that she had taught how to talk. This is the one that she had gone to the store with, maybe. And if we were to compare that to a modern day perception, this is the one where they had gone to JCPenney's or Belk's or Sears or some other shopping center, and they had shared and said, "Well, Mom, does this match my dress? You think this would go with my new shoes?" This was one that she had loved and interacted with. Then one day, maybe the little girl begins to tear at her clothes. It's obvious that this joyous little child, something was taking place and she was changing. I thought about The Exorcism, the book that I read years ago, The Exorcist. I think about the changes that maybe took place in her little girl. And she comes to Jesus and says, "I need help." When you are in trouble, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. When you find yourself broken, bruised, and disgusted, you don't need an investigator to find out why. You don't need somebody to form a commission of inquiry. And when we see people as a church that are dying and broken and hurt and abused, We don't necessarily always have to find out why. We need to reach out in love. And Jesus comes by. And the Bible says she was so excited. I can imagine that she was the one that had heard about the blind being healed and the lame walk. And some people saying, oh, this has just got to be the most fabricated, fictitious stories you've ever heard. But this lady who needed something comes to Jesus and said, I need him. Kinmon Hines writes, it was the same Jesus who had met a man whose body was withered with leprosy, and he had touched him and made him whole. It was this Jesus who had met a paralytic man, a man who had not moved his arms nor his legs for a long time. But Jesus told him to arise and take up your bed and walk, and he did. It was this Jesus who met the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 long years, and she simply touched the hem of his garment and made whole. It was this Jesus who was coming her way, and she was so consumed with excitement. She ran out to meet him. If you're sick, you may want to find yourself a doctor. If you have a legal problem, you need to find a lawyer. If you have family problems, you may need to go to a counselor. If you're having trouble in school as a young person, you may need to find a tutor. If you're having problems with your pipes at home, you may need a plumber. But if your problem is demon possession, if the devil is riding your back, if you want your little girl or little boy back, you need to find an emancipator, a liberator, a demon chaser, a yoke breaker, a problem solver, a mind fixer. You need to find Jesus. And the Bible tells us that she came and found him, and she began crying after him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Jesus says, we don't give bread to the dogs. There's no way that you can smooth that over. That's what Jesus said. Now, in doing some research, I understood that this dog that Jesus was referring to was not the dog that lived out at the dump. This was not the mangy, old, scraggly dog consumed with fleas. This was not the dog that ate the rotten carcasses that had been thrown on the side of the road. This was a dog that Jesus was referring to was like a pet. One of those dogs that as people sat at the table and they took the bread and they wiped their hands and wiped the grease off and threw the bread into the floor and the dogs would eat the bread. That's the type of dog that Jesus was referring to. But still, he called her, referred to her as a dog. She looks at Jesus and she said to him, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Here's this woman coming out of the very rejected group of people, and she gives Jesus a title, Son of David. You see, it's my conviction that some of the people that come to church and are looking for food are not just looking for physical food. And some of the people that come to church and looking for clothes are not just looking for physical clothes. I think some of those people that come into our doors are people that are hungry spiritually. They need to experience Christ's loving, caring, nurturing touch. As we reach out to them, these outcasts, these nobodies, these people that are the others of our society, and to be touched. To be touched not like you would run off some strange dog, to be touched with a loving, caring touch that says that God is love. You see, Jesus isn't just another helper. He is not just another problem solver. He is the only solution for sin-sick souls. He's the only help. He's the only problem solver. He's not just one among many. And Jesus breaks his silence and says, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he has ignored this woman, but she has endured the ridicule. And when Jesus opens his mouth, he says to her, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel. No, not in those who have had the covenant and the relationship. Young people that are getting ready to go back to school, don't forget, just like this lady, that you have a master. And the master is Jesus Christ. Teachers going back to school, you have a master. And he is Jesus Christ. Choir getting ready now to enter back into the chancel area and begin to lead in worship, you have a master. And he is Jesus Christ. And his crumbs are better than anyone else's. Jesus has let the dogs in. Jesus has reached to the outsiders, and they have become insiders. And we have a mission. And I share with you the mission of Main Street United Methodist Church. The mission of Main Street is to be a community of disciples calling all to Christ through love and example. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.